Today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so we won't be able to take your calls. But thank you for listening to We Hold These Truths on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM. Hello, New Hampshire, from beautiful downtown Manchester. This is Karen Testerman on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7 FM.
This hour is being sponsored by Mary Murphy, America's first independent financial branch owner. Mary offers financial workshops open to the public at her office in Nashua from 6 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights. There's no cost to attend, so just be sure you call at 595-0581, 603-595-0581 to register. This is the Karen Testerman Show, and in studio today we have with us Major Kevin Harbison, who is the Civil Air Patrol Commander of the Greater Nashua Composite Squadron. That's a pretty interesting, Composite Squadron. We here concentrate on the truths that are self-evident, those upon which America was founded. Samuel Adams said that it doesn't take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And quite honestly, I intend to be part of that tireless minority. I hope you'll join me. With that in mind, I was listening to George Russell this morning as he was interviewing Nashua Alderman at Large David Dean, and David was talking about the struggles that you are facing trying to make your financial ends meet, and that maybe we needed to do some of that at the local and also at the state and federal level. But he was really going through a lot of the things that we're facing in all of these crazy spending programs that everybody seems to have, including our federal government, especially when they're telling us that we have to cut our budget, but really they're talking about cutting the amount of money that they're going to spend over what they spent last year. So, and I think we need to have a dialogue about that, as David said, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But we've also got to quit pointing fingers and blaming the conditions, the situations, or specific people for our current conditions, and start looking at what we as individuals are doing and what choices we're making, whether it's our involvement in the community or our local school boards or wherever it is that we're being involved. We need to look at those decisions and how that's impacting the overall problem we have. So just a little aside, I wanted George to know I was listening to him this morning. This week I was in Washington, D.C. as the Supreme Court of the United States heard the oral arguments to uphold or reject California's Proposition 18, passed by the people, to define marriage between one man and one woman, and the challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act passed and signed into law by President Bill Clinton. And both sides of the poll seemed to point to support for their different positions. But one question I had, and we'll get into this at another time, but one question I really had was on the Defense of Marriage Act. They seem to think that that's going to be struck down, but it was actually passed to give the federal level a standard by which to administer various things like the Internal Revenue Service, but you know, also the military. And they left both, basically the rest of it, up to the states to make a decision on their own. And they were nobody seems to ask what's going to happen when you're on a military base, because on a military base, that's federal property. And what, you know, whose laws supersede at that point? Is it the state in which the federal property is located, or is it the federal property? So we'll discuss those another show, I'm sure. So, but I am happy to announce that the Karen Testerman Hour will expand to twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays from 10 to 11 a.m. here on Nashua's News and Talk, WSMN 1590. And on our first Monday next week, we'll talk about Common Core and other educational issues with Anne-Marie Banfield. Ironically, it's April Fool's Day, but what is going on in education is no joke. So now my question is, when I say Civil Air Patrol, what comes to your mind? Do you think that you remember maybe vaguely grandfather mentioned something about it back in the World War II? Or do you have any idea that even exists? What is Civil Air Patrol? Well, here to enlighten us about their current activities is Major Kevin Harbison, the Civil Air Patrol commander of the Greater Nashua Composite Squadron. What is a composite squadron?
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me. The Civil Air Patrol has three different types of squadrons. One is a senior squadron, which basically is only comprised of adults, typically all pilots. The other one is a pure cadet squadron, which we have several in the state. The pure cadet squadrons have senior members or adults in them. Basically, they're there to help the cadets do their functions. The composite squadron, and I'm sort of prejudiced on this, if you would, is the best format for me because it actually has both, it takes both squadrons and sticks them together. So I have a very large cadet program and a very large senior member program. And my squadron, actually, the way it's designed, we do the Civil Air Patrol. We'll talk about a little bit what our missions are. We're chartered by Congress to do three primary missions. One is emergency services. We provide to the Air Force all the inland search and rescue capabilities, the vast majority of them. We're tasked specifically by Congress to do that. The other thing we do is we do cadet programs. These are community-based cadet programs, very similar to the Air Force Junior ROTC, but there are some significant differences. We can go into that if you wish. And then we have aerospace education. One of the charters is to excite young people about flying and aerospace and the careers that are in aerospace so that they can become the future leaders in our aerospace industry for the United States. And so those are our three primary missions. And within the composite squadron, we robustly, if I would, do all three of those missions.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you're promoting this Air Force stuff when you have a background in the Army. How did that
yes.
happen?
I am retired Army. I retired after 22 years in the Army, yes. But I'm a pilot.
Okay.
I came to the Civil Air Patrol. I've known the Civil Air Patrol existed for quite some time. And I started flying while I was still in the Army. I learned as a private pilot. I'm a private pilot, multi-engine instrument pilot. And I came to the Civil Air Patrol for that reason. Now, my son also joined. I have two older sons who joined, and I have two younger children who are getting ready to join. And that's what sort of was the catalyst to get me into the organization. So I originally joined with the concept of doing pure emergency services and flying, and I've completely changed that operation, so to speak. I'm now very much a cadet programs person, and I do emergency services. I support the emergency services, and I actually do not fly as a pilot for the Civil Air Patrol. I fly as an observer, but I do not fly as a pilot.
Oh, so. Interesting. So, I'm learning more and more about the Civil Air Patrol all the time. Give us a little history about that.
Sure. The Civil Air Patrol started actually just prior to the outbreak of hostilities in World War II. It was actually December of 1941. And basically, a group of very forward-thinking civil pilots saw this coming, and they approached the United States saying, look, when this happens, we need to have the capability of continuing to support the Department of Defense, actually back then it was the Department of War, with smaller capabilities, non-combatant capabilities, so that we can push forward regular combat aircraft in the theater of operations. They did it. The Civil Air Patrol came about. But the difference is back then, it started out as a coastal patrol. They would carry messages. They would tow. At one point, they were towing target drones, and they were moving VIPs in about the country. But they were all volunteer civilian pilots that did this. Then at one point, during the coastal patrol, they noticed that they were spotting these U-boats, but they didn't have anything to they couldn't do anything about it. So, yep, there's a U-boat. And
these were foreign U-boats.
These were the German U-boat submarines off our coast. And the Army, at that time, the Army had the Air Force. So the Army decided, let's go do an experiment and let's put bombs on these little airplanes.
On the Civil Air Patrol.
On the Civil Air Patrol airplanes. So now imagine, if you would, a little two-seat Piper with a bomb strapped to the bottom of it, flying off the coast of the United States and looking for submarines. And actually, they had successfully attacked several of these submarines and sunk, I believe, two of them. Wow. So that was the history of the World War II part of it. And then after the war, Congress decided that, well, we can't have this belligerent agency manned with a bunch of volunteers and civilians.
So those people with their own minds, right?
So we became a non-belligerent, specifically by law, we became a non-belligerent agency, and we were attached to the Air Force in 1947 when they became their own standalone service, and specifically tasked with those three missions that I just shared with you.
So you do get some funding from the federal government, but not all of your funding is there.
Correct. The vast majority of the funding we receive from the federal government goes towards equipment, aircraft, vehicles, and it goes to support specific operations that we conduct for emergency services. The other part of our funding, the cadet programs receive some funding from the government, but most of that is in the cadets receive a free uniform, a dress blue uniform. Some of the training that the cadets attend is the costs. Some of the costs are offset by the Air Force, but the vast majority of our funding comes from donations and membership dues.
Okay. Yeah. So if somebody wanted to know more about the Civil Air Patrol, how to get involved, as we're talking more, who do they contact?
Well, locally, you can contact me.
And how do they get a hold
and
of you?
Our website is, I don't know if you can put this up on the on your page or not, but it's NH, as in New Hampshire, CAP, C-A-P, Nashua.weebly.com.
Okay.
And stick the W's in front of that.
Oh, okay. I will be happy to do that. So yeah. It'll be up on our Facebook page, nhcapnashua.weebly.com.
Yep.
Weebly. That's an interesting little tidbit.
They provide web services for organizations like us at no cost, which is very good.
Very, very good. Yep. Yeah. So do the cadets themselves have to put any money into their own training?
At times, yes. We conduct it's a very active calendar year for a cadet. It's mm-hmm. it's a full year program. We don't take summers off. In fact, summers are some of our busiest times. There's encampments. There are what we call National Cadet Special Activities, where the cadets go all over the country, and actually some go overseas to visit cadet squadrons in other countries. Not uh-huh. They'll go to the UK, they'll go to Canada.
Oh, really?
I had a cadet in my squadron go to the Czech Republic last year, and they go and they visit their cadets from that country, their air cadets, and they go see what their system is like. And we have the cadets come over here from the exchange program. Our squadron hosted four cadets last year, two from the UK and two from Germany.
Well, fantastic. At that point, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back on the other side with Kevin Harbison with the Civil Air Patrol.
This is Karen Testerman on New Hampshire's Family Radio, WLMW 90.7.